Are there actually three AFC West teams trying to get a rookie quarterback on Thursday night? Which surprising squad might win the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes? And is the number two overall pick still in the air? Plus, five-time FFPC Dynasty League winner Ryan Colson hangs out to discuss Marvin Harrison Jr., his favorite non-top three rookie wide receivers, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your special Wednesday NFL draft preview episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour starts now. I've seen
greater men than me. Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a
man nobody ever told me what a man was. Thank you, Rob, and greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, the season finale of Season 12. Of the HSFF Hour. Thank you for all your support over the last decade plus. It's presented by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. Check them out at myffpc.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. You might know me from the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, the Better Sports Network's High Stakes Fantasy Football Show, and of course, the FFPC. I will bring in my co-host, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Mr. Farrell Elliott, shortly. Coming up on tonight's show, Farrell and I are going to wax poetic on the potential of a Pac-12 quarterback remaining out west as he gets selected potentially on Thursday night, whether Malik Nabers is actually the wide receiver one in this class before five-time FFPC Dynasty League champion Ryan Colson joins us to talk about which wideout the Bills potentially, or maybe for sure, will select on Thursday night in round one of the 2024 NFL draft, whether Justin Herbert could actually be on the move, and much more. If you want to connect with us on X, please do so at HSFF Hour. I am at Eric Balkman. And, of course, check out the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship run by Farrell Elliott over at KFFSC.com. That's KFFSC.com. Post on our Facebook page, Facebook.com/HSFF Hour. You can email us as well at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us, now is the time to send them in. We're going to try to get to all the chat room questions, tweets, and emails. And I know there's a bunch of them with the NFL draft less than 24 hours away as far as the first round goes. Thanks to our audio engineer and my best friend, Bryce, and our producer, mutual friend, Rob. We'll get to everything we can tonight for you, the listener slash viewer slash streamer slash downloader slash awesome person. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to check out what's going on at myffpc.com, well, quite frankly, there's a lot. Empire Leagues have arrived at the FFPC. 50% of the annual prizes in these Empire Dynasty Leagues will go to the league's Empire Pop. The team that wins the championship 2 years in a row will take down the Empire as well as the Empire Pot. All the league will disband, and all teams will get their deposit back on that as well. Go to myffpc.com to not only play in that, as well as our 2024 Dynasty Startup Leagues, which have begun at the $100 level, going all the way up to the $5,000 level at myffpc.com. If you've noticed a change in our best ball leagues this year, that's normal, because not only is our Superflex best ball tournament prize pool deeper this year, our FFPC best ball tournament, which had a $200,000 grand prize last year, now has a $300,000 grand prize. Our Superflex best ball tournament grand prize, which had a five-figure grand prize last year, is now up to a $100,000 grand prize this year. Enter the Classic for $125. Enter the Superflex best ball tournament for just $35 and win $100,000. Where can you beat that? You cannot. So check it out at myffpc.com. And while you're there, and I think we have our final pre-draft Fantasy Pros Championship draft underway right now. Bryce is doing double duty tonight, commissioning, and he's also producing this program tonight. We may or may not have a midnight draft. I think we do, but don't quote me on that. Check it out at myffpc.com. all these players that are drafting right now are drafting for a chance to win a $1 million grand prize in more than a $6 million prize pool. The best ball tournaments, the Dynasty Startups, the Superflex Best Ball Tournament, the Empire Leagues, all those are available at myffpc.com, myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on it, share and share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified every single time we go live. Want to give a shout out to Brent Studebaker, who's hanging out with us watching Facebook, YouTube tonight. We are covering next Friday the FFPC Genesis and Revelations draft. Now, the Revelations draft is already full, but as Brent Studebaker is pointing out in the chat tonight, two more spots need to be filled in the Genesis draft, and we will cover that live along with Revelations at a special 9 p.m. Eastern start next Friday. We'll do Revelations for an hour. We'll do Genesis for an hour. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to have your team reviewed by myself and Farrell Elliott, as well as the other drafters live on air, sign up now at myffpc.com. Mother of God, I apologize. We're 7 minutes in. Everybody's like, Balky, I'm sick of looking at you. I'm sick of looking at that disgustingly long beard. Bring on the best hair in the business. He is at J. Farrell Elliott on the X, the commissioner, definitive commissioner in fantasy football, and the boss over at the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. Farrell Elliott. Farrell, happy draft week. I know, like, as excited as I am for this, this has got to be even more exciting for you.
It's an exciting time, Balky, and people ask me today what's going to happen in the draft. And then my answer now is I don't really give a damn because I'm, you know, let's have it. Let's get it done. They're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to make lots of trades. It's day one is always an adventure. Day two gives you some indication of where you're going. And day three is a free-for-all that ends up lasting into day four, even once the television goes down. So thank you. It will be an exciting weekend. Thank you for that nice introduction. However, Balky, wherever you travel, you are the boss. And when you arrive at the KFFSC, you do become the boss. And our guest last week, the Hammer, what a wonderful gentleman. The Hammer signed up or made his directions known that he will be joining the KFFSC this year. So, you know, your kind words make that happen.
I'm glad to hear that. I know Dom Gazzetti, who is a longtime follower of this show, as well as the Road of His High Stakes Lowdown and the Better Sports Network's HSFF show, he is playing against me in Kentucky this year, playing against anybody who wants to sign up in Kentucky. And Dom is a fun guy to compete against. So if you want to compete against some really – I wouldn't say – like, Dom knows his stuff. But I would say if you want to compete against a really talented guy who's a lot of fun to compete against – as well, and you know, Dom's not the only one. There's plenty of other action over at KFFSC.com. The main event is going on shortly, and you can register for that right now, Farrell.
And Brent Studebaker checks in and encourages me to join. Is it Genesis, I believe?
Genesis, yep, absolutely. And,
I cannot, Brent, because that would put me in a position to not be able to join the show and evaluate everyone else's draft pick. And is that an old fashioned, you know, unexpectedly, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, Balky, but my brother Lee, he prepares me a little caddy of an ice chest and an ice bucket and some cocktail glasses. And, you know, and I did not give him the idea that there was a show, that there was a show here on Wednesday night, not Friday night, so he was unprepared. So, Rubio, this is a Jameson and ginger ale, and it is poorly with its two ingredients. I still didn't get it right because Lee didn't do it for me, but it's as close as we're going to get tonight, so thank you for that shout-out.
I will say this, too. Like, I was actually hanging out earlier in the day with a guy who – so the terrestrial radio station I work at in northeast Wisconsin, we have six radio stations in our radio ranch, and the news talk station, which is adjacent to me, we have a guest on every single week, one of the hosts of that program. He is from Pittsburgh, Farrell.
No,
and he is not well versed in sports. He's a minor Steelers fan and an even more minor Pirates fan.
He shouldn't tell people he's from.
Well, he doesn't mind. He doesn't mind sharing this. Pittsburgh. But But he will. He has said over and over again in the times I've hung out with him, and I was hanging out with him a couple hours ago, earlier tonight, watching the NBA playoffs and some Major League Baseball. His chosen drink of choice is Jameson and ginger ale. Mm-hmm. He has always gone with that. He loves it. He's a big fan of it. So there's a lot to like about Jameson and ginger ale tonight. But so here's what I want to do. We're gonna end the show with some emails. I promise you it's going to happen about some rookies tonight. We're going to get Ryan Colson's take on not only some of the players he's heavily invested in dynasty leagues, but some of his takes on rookies as well. But to kick off the show tonight, Farrell, we've kind of been avoiding this the last few months because I hate to bring up topics where it's like, hey, what if this happens? What if this happens? Well, now we're 24 hours away from the start of the NFL draft. I think it's time to bring these topics up. And I'm going to kick things off tonight with your Las Vegas Raiders. Dan Graziano from ESPN reported that the Raiders are, quote, thought to be high on Washington quarterback Michael Penix. Now, apparently, and like this is really apparent, the Raiders would love Jaden Daniels. Raiders are not probably going to have the ammunition to move up from 13 to 2 to get Jaden Daniels tomorrow night. So the Raiders are probably going to have the opportunity to draft Bo Nix or Michael Penix if they don't want to be shut out from quarterback in the first round. Now, Graziano also said, quote, if the quarterback market starts drying up quickly and they feel the need to trade up in order to avoid being shut out, the Chargers at number 5, who I am convinced are going to trade out of that position, and the Titans at number 7 are two teams that people believe are willing to trade down, end quote. Penix obviously would be a massive upgrade over Aiden O'Connell, a significant upgrade over Gardner Minshew, and potentially your quarterback of the future here in Las Vegas. At least that's the way I would see it if the Raiders end up drafting him in round 1. Your thoughts on Michael Penix as a Raider and the likelihood it could happen and maybe the fallout for Devontae Adams, Michael Mayer, and more in Sin City.
Oh, I think it's highly likely that it happens, and I am a big fan of this player. You know, he played at Indiana University before the transfer. He's 24 years old. He's been in college ball for 6 years, and he's been there. He's been around so long because he's had bad luck with injuries. But NFL Medical has reviewed him and has largely decided that he's just a victim of bad luck. He's not particularly injury-prone. Then at his pro day, he comes in and he wheels out a 4.46. You don't see this necessarily in his college film, and I don't think we'll see it as a big part of his professional game. But where we will see it is he will extend the plays with his feet, and that's very important. With the Raider offense that it will feature a new running back, there's the big surprise for the Raiders, as far as I'm concerned, is who's going to play running back. And if Penix could land here, it would be a gift for him because he makes enough of the throws, extends the plays with his feet. His best play is his recent play at Washington. And there's nothing about his game that cannot be improved with Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers. So this is a wonderful spot for the Raiders, a wonderful spot for the player.
Injury situation with Penix with his shoulders and knees, obviously not as healthy as some of his other rookie cohorts this year. Kind of a polarizing issue. How do you stand on Michael Penix and how healthy his body is going to stand up over the course of, you know, quite frankly, a decade in the NFL if all things go right?
Well, that's what we wouldn't hear him being talked about being this high a draft pick if they thought that those injuries were any more than just bad luck. He's just, you know, he's been in football and he's had a run of bad luck. He could have a run of healthy luck now, and that's what we hope all for all players, but especially for this player. Another reason we didn't see that, maybe that 4.46 speed on film, is, you know, they protected him a little bit at Washington because that was their investment. But I think he'll be ready to go and take on every aspect of NFL football, physically and mentally.
You know, most people, I shouldn't say most people, some people, I know we have a smart and really good-looking listening audience here and viewing audience, But I will say some people are not aware. Michael Penix actually started his career in the Big Ten with the Indiana Hoosiers, mm-hmm. of all teams. Another quarterback that is going to be drafted high Thursday night is also from the Big Ten. He of the defending national champion Michigan Wolverines, and that is J.J. McCarthy. Jeff Howe, who works for The Athletic, says there's, quote, going to be a race between the New York Giants and Minnesota Vikings for J.J. McCarthy in the draft tomorrow evening. Now, per recent reports, and again, and I just said this in the YouTube chat, it is lying season, so take this with a grain of salt. If you weren't hearing this in February, if you weren't hearing this in March, I don't necessarily know if you should be paying close attention to it in April. But I will say this regardless. So the Giants apparently want to get a quarterback this year to compete with Daniel Jones in 2024 and maybe take over for him in 2025. The Vikings lost Kirk Cousins to the Atlanta Falcons. They signed Sam Darnold. I can't imagine that is the long-term solution for the Vikings this year, and they could be trying to get a quarterback of a future in the 2024 draft, even if it means surrendering not only two first-round picks to move up, but maybe a 2025 first-rounder as well. Jeff Howe, in a recent mock draft, had J.J. McCarthy going to the Giants at pick number 4 in the trade with the Arizona Cardinals. The Giants currently have the 6th pick in the draft, so it would require them moving up 2 slots in the first round. The Vikings have the 11th pick and I believe 23 overall. Don't quote me on that, but I do believe that's correct. An AFC executive told ESPN Jeremy Fowler that he expected Minnesota to trade up to the 3 spot to get the Patriots' 3rd overall pick to draft a quarterback as well. The executive said, quote, "I think they pull it off." Do they? Do they not? I don't know. It's what makes Thursday night so enjoyable. We are going to see what happens here. Farrell, J.J. McCarthy, I'm going to put the proverbial gun to your head right now. After tomorrow night's proceedings, what uniform is Michigan Wolverines quarterback J.J. McCarthy wearing to begin his pro career?
Oh, no, Balky. I think he's a Viking. I really think he's a Viking. You know, he's a quarterback that was successful. Not a lot was asked of him. He was protected in the pocket, and he made the plays. He plays on time. He moves the chains. He keeps the ball moving down the field. I like this player. You could learn to love this player with the consistency and certain professionalism around him. And look at the receivers once everything gets worked out that he's got at the tight end position and the wide receiver position in Minnesota. And that would be a wonderful place for him. I think that you don't get real excited about this player, but you get real comfortable for the other fantasy elements around him. And I think he would make a really, really fine pick as your number 3 quarterback in best ball and an attractive pick in Dynasty.
Well, you know, typically I don't like to spend so much time talking about quarterbacks because I think that's, you know, with all apologies to Superflex drafters, like you're going to be collecting quarterbacks as much as you can in Superflex drafts. I don't know how much advice we can give you. So I typically like to spend our time talking about running backs and receivers, but because they're so close to the draft, I do think quarterbacks are interesting to talk about, not only for Superflex in the FFPC, but just in general, the direction of certain NFL teams. So I'm going to bring up Albert Breer's report today from Sports Illustrated that the Broncos, quote, connections to Oregon's Bo Nix have persisted. Breer said that the front office in Denver have done a lot of work evaluating whether Bo Nix is going to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL, specifically for the Denver Broncos. They've met with Michael Penix. Peyton Manning, who's closely in touch with the team, says that the Broncos remain, quote, very interested in J.J. McCarthy, who probably, and I guess, you know, obviously maybe, will not be on the board at number 12 when the Denver Broncos are slated to pick. Now, Bo Nix has been called a lot of things. He's been called a war eagle in Auburn. He's been called the tiger there. He's been called a duck. He's been called a game manager by a lot of people, too. And Bo Nix would seemingly be exactly what Sean Payton is looking for in the Mile High City, who loves to check down in his passing offense. No team in the NFL threw more running back screen passes last season than Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos. The Rams have also been a potential landing spot for Bo Nix as Matthew Stafford is getting up there in years, Farrell. But I want to focus on Bo Nix to Denver here. Is this real? How likely is it that Bo Nix is going to be a Bronco not before, not on Friday, but prior to Friday's round two, are we going to see Bo Nix as a Denver Bronco?
I don't think so, but it wouldn't surprise me for all the reasons that you said. I think they've done a good job positioning themselves to take advantage of any of these quarterbacks, as well as they've added quarterbacks to the roster, none of which that we particularly like for fantasy football purposes. And if they've decided that they are going to come with that word again, a game manager offense, I struggle with the concept of any rookie really being a game manager. But I'll take that under this situation and say that that's how Peyton wants to play football and how to win. You know, Ibaki, you're so right to bring this up tonight. I think back of you think about game changers in the first round, and it was just a few years ago that we said at the end of the first round, we're getting ready to shut it down for the night, and all of a sudden – the Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
In the world, it completely changes for all the Baltimore Ravens and the way that you, the way they went forward as a team. So there's plenty of surprises still to come. Bo Nix and McCarthy don't provide the surprise. Penix provides me a surprise because I finally caught up with believing how good this player is. And I think he can be a better pro than the player that he was in college. And so there's lots of other quarterbacks in this draft that have aspects I like about them, including Rattler out of South Carolina. You know, we're going to find the best landing spots at the end of the day. And at the quarterback position, we're going to know them quick. So it changes everything for the landing spots where they end up for our fantasy players. And it either challenges what we know or validates it. And I'm hoping for a lot of validation.
Yeah, validation is the name of the show. And while we would love to have our picks and our analysis validated by the decision makers and by the players that participate in the NFL, who better than to go for proper validation than a five-time FFPC Dynasty League champion. He's also won other FFPC titles as well. He's here tonight as our guest to talk about the biggest rookie sleeper in this year's class, his favorite first-year running back, and much more. Please welcome on the pride of Buffalo, New York, Mr. Ryan Colson. Ryan, happy draft week. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Thanks, Balky. Thanks, Farrell. Thanks for having me on today. You know, it's funny. I told my wife that I was going to be on a podcast tonight, and I think her immediate response was, "Oh, you're just going to talk fantasy with some of your buddies," you know. But I told her, you know, that the website that I'm on constantly flipping through, trading nonstop, that those are the guys that I'm going to be on with. She's like, "Oh, okay, so it's a big deal." So, you know, it's an honor to be on with you both today, and I really appreciate the time.
Have you always lived in Buffalo, or did you move there? What's your story?
So I'm from about 2 hours south of Buffalo originally. I've been kind of all over the country. I've got a military background, so I've been all over. I was out in California for a while. My wife is actually from Buffalo originally. We met out there, and we moved back here to the Buffalo area back in 2019. So roots are here now officially. There's no moving now.
That's awesome. That's fantastic, man. Let me do this. And by the way, we're going to get into Dalton Kincaid and a potential – wide receiver pick for the Bills in the first round tomorrow night in a little bit. But before we get to that, can you I know you said a military background. Can you let us know what you're doing for a living when you're not winning all these FFPC Dynasty Leagues?
Yeah, so I'm currently in talent acquisition. So I recruit pharmacists for one of the major retailers out there. Also currently closing the book on my 20-year career in the military. I'm currently in the reserve. Finished my paperwork for retirement back in back about 2 weeks ago. So closing that chapter and focusing more on recruiting.
That is an interesting background. I like Buffalo. I'm a big fan of Buffalo until it starts snowing. But even then, I mean, it looks like as a transplant in California, you're slugging your way through it.
it was a mild winter this year, so we were blessed. It was pretty calm for us.
A transplanted Californian made his way down to Arizona and played for the Cardinals this past year. And I think this is a little bit of a trick question because, Marvin Harrison's floating around there. He and the other two neighbors and Adunze and perhaps some other highly ranked receivers could change the platform and face of some of these teams' expectations of the guys on the team. Michael Wilson, I think, has not been for me, and I can exact. But before I get started on that, I want to know what you think about it. But what happens to Wilson and other Cardinal players if that's the landing spot for Marvin Harrison?
Yeah, so I've got a lot of Michael Wilson shares. So the question, you know, as far as being rosterable, to me, he is absolutely. He's a guy that, you know, during roster cuts, we all know how difficult roster cuts can be on the platform, especially in, you know, the RotoViz or the Superflex leagues. I couldn't get away from him. I was keeping him on every roster I could. I think, you know, the expectation has been all along that the team was going to bring in one of those high-end X receivers, whether it be, you know, Harrison Jr., Neighbors. But, you know, Wilson's not next guy. I think he's, you know, more of a Z. He's more of a compliment guy a top tier elite wide receiver. I expect regression from Trey McBride. Honestly, I think, you know, he had the opportunity there with, you know, there wasn't any competition really when he was, excelling towards the end of the year. If I could move a Kincaid plus, or I'm sorry, if I could move him in McBride for a Kincaid plus, I'll do that in a dynasty league. So in my opinion, I think you can stash Wilson comfortably, and then come time for bye weeks when you need, you know, that second flex, I think he's a guy you can slide into your starting roster.
I can appreciate that with Wilson. I'm not a big Wilson fan. I'd like to know exactly what you like about him. I do think that he's physical and he's quick, and he's got all the measurements. But, you know, here we throw that old phrase around about it being injury prone. He just misses a lot of time. He missed a lot of time last year. He had one breakout game in a chaser game versus the Niners where they lost by 20 points. He caught 7 balls and 2 touchdowns, but was relatively a non-factor for the rest of the year. I can understand hanging on to him. I'm curious about when you might play him. But I don't think he's a number one receiver, so I'm sort of like with you. If they land a top-of-the-line receiver very early, one of these top receivers, I think he becomes a better player because take pressure off and roll the defense in a new direction. But I appreciate that, and I'll keep an eye on Wilson, especially knowing that you are a fan.
Well, and Ryan, I think the other question, too, that needs to be answered is – when you had the opportunity to cut Michael Wilson, right, prior to cutdown day, when you knew that a lot of people were thinking that Harrison was going to go to the Cardinals, you didn't. So obviously, yeah, you do see something with Michael Wilson here. Was it just the case of, hey, a lot can happen. Everybody is hating on Wilson because everybody assumes Harrison's going to the Cardinals. There's a non-zero chance they trade out of that spot and maybe grab somebody else, maybe an offensive lineman instead. What was the reason that you decided to, and it's not like you have Wilson on every single team, but you do have him on several of your teams. What do you think, how would you answer that question? Like, what was the reason that Wilson made the cut for several of your dynasty teams before FFPC cutdown day?
Yeah, I mean, good question. So obviously we know, a healthy Kyler Murray can support several receivers, can support up to three targets, really. I mean, when you look back to earlier in his career, you know, he was supporting Hopkins, Christian Kirk, and Fitzgerald was still on the team too. So he can support and feed multiple receivers, you know, at a time. I think that he's kind of locked into that second receiver on the team. So I think, you know, if he's, you know, in your flex spot and, you know, he's getting 5 to 7 targets in a game, you can flex that. You can put him in your roster and start him.
So let's move on here and talk about your Bills. Now, prior to you living in the Buffalo area, were you a Bills fan? I want to know how deep your fandom goes, because I think our viewers want to understand that the answer to that before you answer this question about Dalton Kincaid and the potential for the Bills drafting a wide receiver in the first round tomorrow night on Thursday. Kincaid was a player the Bills traded up for last year. And obviously, there are certain Dalton Kincaid owners in the FFPC saying, God, I hope they don't draft a receiver. I need all these Kincaid targets next year. But there's also a certain section of people saying, God, I hope they do draft a receiver, take some of this pressure off Kincaid. So maybe his target volume goes down, but his target efficiency and production actually goes way up. What do you think about Kincaid's production specifically in 2024 if Buffalo decides to pull the trigger on a wideout in the first round tomorrow?
Yeah, so I'll first answer your first question regarding kind of like my roots as a Bills fan and where that came from. You know, I grew up 2 hours south of Buffalo, so we grew up.
So you were always
from always a Bills fan. So I grew up we were watching Super Bowls as if they were like the normal thing to do. When I was a kid, we would just go to Super Bowl parties. That's what we did. That was a thing to do. And then all of a sudden, we had this enormous drought, 17 years without playoffs. So I was spoiled as a kid. But to answer your question on Kincaid, I think personally that it's definitely better for Kincaid and his production if we bring in that elite receiver. There's not currently a receiver on the roster that's going to, got to pull those double teams in, is going to draw that attention. It's not going to be Shakir. It's not going to be Curtis Samuel. So we need that elite receiver. Mm-hmm. In my mindset, I am an advocate of, I want to see Brandon Bean make a big move, make a huge splash. I don't want to stay put. I don't want to do a mid-tier up to a Brian Thomas Jr. I want to make a jump into the top 10. I want to get an elite guy for Josh Allen. My thought process is we get up to the 8 with it, where Atlanta is currently. We take the if Adunze is still there, probably not Neighbors or Harrison Jr. If Adunze is there at 8, we jump the Jets, we jump the Bears. He's not adverse to these kinds of moves. We made the move for Stephon Diggs originally. We made the big splash to sign Von Miller 2 years ago. Obviously, he's been injured. We made that move in free agency. So we're not, I don't think he's against making that kind of huge jump. I think it actually would open up bringing in a talent like that. I think it opens up a buying window for Kincaid. We had a buying window earlier this offseason for Kincaid. Then after the Diggs trade, I think that hyped up Kincaid as the number one target. But I think bringing in another receiver like that would actually reopen that window to purchase some Kincaid shares.
Wow. Oh, man. That's
dude, a lot there. A lot to unpack. I don't know.
Is anybody else super excited for Rome Odunze, the Buffalo Bill right now? This is insane. I love it. I'm here for it. And honestly, God, I don't think it happens. But as Ryan pointed out, Farrell, there is a non-zero chance of it happening. Ooh. Want to see it as a Bills fan. And if that does happen, all of a sudden we're like, okay, who are we taking as our first receiver in our FFPC rookie draft? Are we taking Harrison to the Cardinals? Are we taking Neighbors to the Giants or somebody else? Or are we taking Rome blanking Odunze, who is going to be the number one target for Josh Allen for the second half of his career in Buffalo? That is compelling, my friend. This is why I love the NFL draft. It would be awesome to see. Whether it happens, I don't know, but I'm here for it.
Well, it would also break my heart a little bit, but I'm prepared for my heart already to be broken in regards to my dynasty teams because so many of them have Justin Herbert at quarterback. And every day you pick up the paper, who else is jumping off the ship and where are they going to come from? And I like some of the players that are still there, but that's a lot of firepower. What do you see the Chargers doing? A lot of firepower has moved on to other teams. And how does this quarterback react to it? How does it look different for him moving forward?
Yeah, I've got a lot of shares of Herbert. If we're assuming that Harrison Jr. goes, to the Cardinals at 4, seen different things as you guys started the podcast discussing, potential trade backs. I saw Ben Albright's his mock draft today where he had Minnesota moving up to 5 and taking McCarthy. I think it was, the Chargers moving back and taking J.C. Latham, the offensive lineman at Alabama. So different scenarios, with a scenario like that, I think, they could, take stabs at a few wide receivers later in the draft. I think ultimately the best, from a fantasy standpoint, obviously the best situation is to take Neighbors at 5. Ever since they traded Keenan Allen, I've kind of put my stamp on Neighbors at five. I think the only thing that would change that would be a trade back to gain more draft capital. When you look at that offense from last year, you look at all the receivers or all the playmakers they've lost. Keenan Allen without the 100 targets that he had. Mike Williams moves on. You got Austin Eckler moved on. Even people forget about Gerald Everett. He had 70 targets last year. So you're looking at over 300 targets that are vacated from that offense right now. So whoever it is, they're going to eat and they're going to be. I mean, if it's Neighbors, I think he automatically becomes a top eight, top 10 dynasty wide receiver.
Like I said, I am just convinced the Chargers trade down, but there is a chance and maybe more than a 50% chance. The Chargers could still trade down and still get Neighbors, dependent upon how far they want to trade down and who's trading up. I mean, it's such a good offensive tackle class. You got Joe Alt out there. You have four quarterbacks potentially going in the top five, maybe top six picks. What is Arizona going to do? Are they going to trade again? I feel like the closer we get to the draft, the more questions I have, which is really frustrating. But it's so much fun, right? It's so much fun to be taking this in. So we're talking tonight with Ryan Colson, the five-time FFPC Dynasty League champ. Caleb Williams is probably going to be the first overall pick tomorrow. I think he's like minus 20,000 on most betting websites. So if you like burning money, go ahead and set a pick on FanDuel or whatever Jaden Daniels is going to be selected first by the Bears. And maybe you'll win a lot of money, but you probably won't. Assuming Caleb Williams goes to the Bears here, Ryan. DeAndre Swift has been a pretty significantly good pass catcher, not only at Georgia, but in his time in Detroit and Philadelphia. Marshawn Lloyd was Caleb Williams' running back last year at USC. Marshawn Lloyd did not top 20 receptions. Marshawn Lloyd is capable of catching the ball for more than 20 catches a year, but because Caleb Williams was so agile with his feet and a guy that is kind of underrated as a runner, I think that kind of limits the output of at least catches for whoever is starting running back is going to be. I think we look at DeAndre Swift, we're excited. We see he's on an up-and-coming offense. Obviously, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett are all on this team next year, and now you get Caleb Williams here. What kind of an impact do you see right now on Caleb Williams having, specifically on DeAndre Swift's reception output? Is it going to be a death knell? Is it going to be okay? Is it overrated? Is he still going to be good? What's the impact that you're seeing?
Yeah, a lot of mouths to feed, right? So, I mean, even unpacking it beyond that, when you look, they bring in Shane Waldron from Seattle, who's the offensive coordinator. Looking at running back targets in Seattle last year between Charbonnet and Kenneth Walker III, they were bottom four, Seattle was, in receptions or targets to receivers from the quarterback. So I don't think it's even in the scheme so much in his offense, unless they brought Swift in for that reason to kind of, get those numbers up. When you look at Caleb Williams, I think, he's got that playmaker gene. So I see if he gets in trouble in the backfield, I would imagine he's probably going to use his legs more often than dumping it off to a wide receiver. So, I mean, for those reasons, combined, I'm kind of out on Swift in Dynasty this year.
We asked our guests last week this question. I was impressed with his answers, and I was impressed with Balky's commentary. I have commentary for it this week, but I'm much more interested in hearing what you think. And that is the running back position in this draft. In my current drafting in the Empire Leagues, the Empire Dynasty, I'm seeing the running backs disappear pretty quickly. And I'm seeing the rookie running backs disappear pretty quickly. And I don't necessarily know which ones that should have a premium draft position on them. I know which ones do, but I'm not so sure they should. Your clarity would be very welcome here. Can you give us a running back or two that you like best amongst the 50 players?
Yeah, we all know that ultimately, draft capital and landing spot are going to matter in a big way in this class. But, we don't have the Bijan Robinson, we don't have, Jahmyr Gibbs in this class that stand out so much. But there's some really nice landing spots, I think, this year. You hear obviously a lot about Dallas. and the Chargers. But, you know, you got the Cardinals to replace Connor, essentially. Even the Ravens, you know, bring in a running back in this draft that can replace Derrick Henry in the next year or two. You've got Cincinnati, which, you know, so bringing somebody to compete with Zach Moss and Chase Brown. So there's opportunity there in this class. My favorite's Jonathan Brown. Jonathan Brooks. You're going to hear a lot of Jonathan Brooks being the number one out of Texas. You know, obviously he was behind Bijan and Roshan. You know, while in his time there, he's got good size, 6'2", 216. Not the most explosive, but I think probably the most rounded running back in the class. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well, but he does everything pretty well, in my opinion. He can catch out of the backfield. I've seen comps to like Melvin Gordon. So I like Jonathan Brooks a lot. I also, to your point, Balky, I think Marshawn Lloyd a lot. I think he's one of the guys that you can bring in, you know, is a three down back, and he can be effective immediately in one of these backfields. You know, the torn ACL for Brooks doesn't really concern me. A lot of these backs in this class have had major knee injuries already. So, and you know, it wasn't a serious tear. It was pretty clean. You know, I think when you look at it, if you look at Jonathan Brooks, if he ends up in a place like Dallas, like you talked about, you know, I think immediately becomes what, a top six, top eight dynasty running back. So there's gonna be some rhythm. Some, you're gonna see running backs jump up the boards depending on landing spot for sure.
I like that, and Balky, that's how I went about answering the question to prepare for it this week, and I thought you were. I thought you were going to hit on it, and you didn't. But you're all around it, and that's at the Raiders. Because when I take a look at the running backs on the roster, White included, I think these guys have liabilities that don't necessarily suggest a starting running back. And I think one of my favorite running backs in the draft will be whoever the Raiders take.
Yes.
One of my second favorite running backs in the draft might be who the Raiders take second. They've got an offensive line there that have five guys that have over 500 snaps each last year. And a rookie quarterback that's going to have to a rookie or near rookie quarterback that's going to have to lean on a running game. So that's where I'm going. So yeah, we started the show talking about quarterbacks. But the real meat of the decision-making of fantasy players is the running back position.
So let's do this. As a guy who owns Zamir White in, let's just say, multiple dynasty leagues right
now. Would that be you, Balky?
That might be me. I'm not going to say. Some guy, some idiot in Appleton, Wisconsin, with a big beard may own Zamir White in multiple dynasty leagues. Ryan, I was really excited to see the Raiders go ahead and sign – Alexander Mattison, because I thought, okay, this cements them as not being a big player for running backs in the round one or day two, day one or day two of the NFL draft. But to focus this on Jonathan Brooks, what if Brooks goes to the Raiders and what if he is not like a high, what if he is like a round three pick? Like what if guys like Trey Benson go to Dallas? What if a guy like Jalen Wright ends up going to the Chargers? What if a guy like Blake Corum to the Chargers is better, and Jalen Wright to the Bengals or something like that? And Jonathan Brooks ends up being like, instead of being the first running back off the board, he's like the fourth running back off the board. You said, and I happen to agree with you, landing spot is key for all these guys. But if Jonathan Brooks ends up going as the fourth running back off the board, are you dinging him a little bit in dynasty leagues because of how the NFL evaluates his talent? The fact that multiple teams passed on this guy multiple times and three running backs were chosen in front of him? Or are you still a believer in the talent? Like, how do you balance something like that? Again, if it happens on Friday where Brooks ends up slipping.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to your point with Alexander Mattison, that does not scare me at all. I was a Madison truther for a little while there a couple years ago when he was given the opportunity to take over the lead back role in Minnesota, and he flopped, you know. So Madison does not scare me at all. Zamir White, when he was drafted, he was what, third, fourth round running back originally?
I think he was third, right?
Third or fourth.
Third round for Zamir White?
Don't recall.
I'll look it up. Keep going.
So, yeah, I mean, I think Brooks landing in Oakland would be another great landing spot. You know, with that draft capital, if he's third or fourth off the board, You know, what are the teams looking at? Are they looking at the ACL? Are they hesitant to bring him on board now? You know, are they, would they rather bring on, like, to your point, a Trey Benson or, you know, Jalen Wright? I wouldn't ding him on that. Ultimately the talent comes through, I think, and especially once he gets healthy, I think he competes with Zamir White. Probably takes that lead back role.
So Zamir White, I'm looking it up right now, as far as where he was drafted. And this is, you know, what's so stupid about Zamir White is I probably should have cut him or traded him multiple times. And I never did because I'm too lazy or I'm in too many dynasty leagues, which, by the way, is not possible. You cannot be in too many dynasty leagues.
That's not it.
No, it's probably not it. But number one, I did not know this. The dude's nickname is Zeus. How do you trade a running back whose Pretty nickname sweet. Is Zeus? You cannot do it on your
Pretty
team.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And he went to Georgia, which is like running back you. Like, you got to love Zamir White. He ended up being, to your point, I was wrong, Ryan. You were right. Round four, okay. 122 overall in the 2022 draft, going to the Las Vegas Raiders. So I think that's very interesting right there. And we'll see what they do in the draft, because there's obviously an opportunity in the Raiders' backfield, but I like what I saw last year for sure.
The thing is with that too, you know, with that fourth round capital, I get so concerned now with these later round draft, because those running backs without draft capital, you know, going back to, you know, Philip Lindsay to, you know, Damian Pierce, who was great recently. We all thought he was going to break out, and then all of a sudden he's been replaced. So I think draft capital is really important when it comes to that the running back position.
Which Permar 99 in the YouTube chat, Zamir White, Balky loves landmines. And I said, Balky loves landmines is going to be a great fantasy football
team. That would be. That would be
going
good.
Forward. Yeah, I love
that would
it.
Be good.
Let's move on from running backs. Let's talk about wide receivers. So I think, Ryan, and if you disagree with this, let us know. But I think the clear delineation between the wide receivers in this year's NFL draft, it's whatever order you want to put them in, Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, those are the top three. And then there's a drop off to number four. The question I have for you, if you take out the top three, what's the one pairing you want to see with a wide receiver to a team that would be best for fantasy purposes? You can't do Odunze, you can't do Harrison, you can't do Neighbors, but outside of those three, who's the one receiver that you really want to see go to this specific NFL team?
So I think Brian Thomas Jr. to the Jaguars would be a great fit. They don't have a top receiver currently. They moved on from Calvin Ridley. So right now, Christian Kirk is their number one. I think you put Brian Thomas Jr. I think, you know, Lawrence bounces back this year. I think, you know, in an improved offense, give him that top level wide receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. I think that'd be a great fit.
Well, Mr. Five-time dynasty winner, the pressure is looking out. This is a tough question, but it's here we are on the eve of the draft, so I'm going to go ahead and answer it. I want a sleeper. I want a guy that nobody really pays attention to that gets drafted. I want this year's Puka, this year's Kyren Williams. Maybe I should just pick someone the Rams take later. But I need your breakdown of who that player is. I have several candidates, but I do not want to poison the well of your mindset by even bringing in the first one up. Tell me your sleeper, the guy nobody's talking about. We had one last week that people dropped in with that I thought was very unique. A receiver down at Florida State, Flunky, but. Who are we going with, Ryan? Sleeper of the year, 2024 draft.
Yeah, so if you'd asked me this 4 or 6 weeks ago, I probably would have said JJ McCarthy, but obviously that's off the table now because of the hype and draft capital we're going to see. Give me some Jermaine Burton.
Oh, yeah.
Give me some Jermaine Burton out of first Georgia, then Alabama. You know, 6 foot, 195, 200, physical, good hands, good speed on the outside. Obviously, there's concern with character. I don't know all the details behind the character concerns. Six different teams. I know that, you know, at one point in time he punched an opponent's fan after a game. Obviously, not good. So there's character concerns there. But I think the talent's there. He's obviously showing out in Alabama. I think with him, give him the right landing spot. One team that sticks out to me would be Pittsburgh. You know, put him in Pittsburgh with a Mike Tomlin who is used to those kinds of personalities and can, you know, kind of rein them in. And I think it could be a great spot for him.
Hey, but Falky, was that Permar that had our Florida State receiver?
Yeah,
he was Permar had one thing that I agreed with last week and one thing that I agreed with this week. We're on a 2-week roll here. Mm-hmm. This is fantastic. It's a whole lot. Yeah. Okay. Good stuff.
Permar is it like I don't give him enough credit, but he is one of our more, not that we have unknowledgeable viewers, but he is definitely one of our more knowledgeable viewers.
If Permark was a baseball player, he would be the guy I grew up with, the mad Hungarian, Al Hrabowski.
Yeah.
He would only throw, you know, fastballs. Permar just comes 120 miles an hour on every
call. I would say Permar, as long as we're on the baseball topic, he'd be one of these. Hrabowski was a pitcher, obviously.
Reliever, yeah.
I think Permar is more of a catcher, one of the more cerebral players in baseball. To equate that to fantasy football, because I always think he's going a little bit deeper than most of us, myself included, are looking at in stuff like this. So yeah, I mean, I think Permar definitely, and we gotta get him on the show. We'll get him on the show.
He's actually a former altar boy because he's lighting candles for AU.
He said he was a baseball player in college. So there you go. Maybe he was a former.
Permar went to college.
Come on, Harold. No. We're not doing this. No, we're not ripping on Permar 99 tonight. That is not going to happen.
Love you, Permar.
So let's go, Ryan. We got some emails here for you tonight. We got a little time left, so I want to get to the emails. And my computer is acting up right now. Of course it's acting up. The one time I want to ask emails tonight, which is so frustrating.
Ahead and ask my question to close it out?
Okay, yeah, this because my browser just shut down completely.
This is usually our closer. So you got to come strong like Permar. Okay. And you've got to tell us someone that you absolutely love. And then you've got, for a very, very positive guy like you are, and I love that in you, Ryan, you're going to have to throw a little shade because I know there's somebody out there that you don't want on your team. I'm not particularly sure who it is, but share with us those two players, somebody you got to have and somebody that you just don't want any part of.
Yeah, this is one player that I'm buying anywhere I can is Jackson Smith and Jigba. I don't know many people that have been on the bandwagon for JSN like I have, you know, going back to his junior year, you know, obviously the Rose Bowl game. That wide receiver room, he had, you know, Olave, Garrett Wilson, Harrison Jr., all on that same team and still showed out. You know, I think had an unlucky rookie year, obviously broke his wrist in that preseason game against Dallas. So he was already set back from there. You know, and then playing kind of third fiddle to Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I think this year, you know, with a full preseason, a full, you know, offseason, I think he takes that second wide receiver slot from Tyler Lockett. He had 93 targets last year. They all had over 90 targets last year, so they're passing the ball a lot. But, you know, we saw his talent in spurts. He had the big touchdown catch over the Eagles. Which we saw. I think he, you know, increases that target share probably to like the 110 or more range, potentially even being, you know, the number one receiver in that offense.
Interesting. Okay. I love it because this is counter to a lot what a lot of pundits are out there saying right now regarding JSN. So you like JSN, Ryan, which I give you props for, and I have him on some of my dynasty teams. Maybe I need to acquire him on more of my dynasty teams right now. What about a player that, and again, I know it's difficult to trade this time of year because we got the draft coming up in less than 24 hours, which is going to radically change the value for a lot of the players on your roster. If there is a player that you would like to sell for maybe less than 100 cents on the dollar, who is it?
So I'm curious to see what your responses are to this one, because I have not seen this player listed as a sell anywhere. But at current value alone, I'm shopping Drake London. I've joined a few startups so far this offseason. I've seen him. I mean, he's going in the startup range, you know, late second, early third. I've seen him go as high as 2.7. So I've seen him go at 2.7 ahead of Garrett Wilson, ahead of AJ Brown. If you're telling me I can get AJ Brown plus for Drake London, I'm making that move. If I can get Garrett Wilson plus for Drake London, I'm making that trade. So, you know, I think that the hype has kind of been on, obviously the hype's there with, you know, Arthur Smith leaving, they bring in Raheem Morris, they bring in Kirk Cousins. They can't feed everybody to that extent where Drake London's all of a sudden the wide receiver seven. So I'm at least seeing what I can get for Drake London currently.
It's interesting when you take a look at what Atlanta did in their passing game last year. They were worse at the receiver position in all categories of passing. And, you know, you would be flying in the face of buy low and sell high. You would be just absolutely in the reverse here because this player, I think if you stuck with him, you might keep him. But, yeah, you are the five-time champion.
Yeah, it's true. And Permar99 also pointed out he did this much earlier in the podcast, but he said odds are shifting now. Atlanta now favored to draft Rome Odunze. And I have seen this because, my God, if you can find an NFL mock draft prior to mid-April that did not have Dallas Turner, the edge rusher from Atlanta, going to the Falcons, kudos to you because I can't find one. And now all of a sudden we're seeing, you know, Byron Murphy going there, and now we're seeing, according to Permar99, the odds are saying Rome Odunze to the Atlanta Falcons, and he said that's going to suck for his Drake London shares. If that does happen and the odds are dictating that this is more than a non-zero chance of that happening, then you are right, my friend, Ryan, to trade Drake London while the getting's good, because after the draft, it might not be all that great to have Drake London on your team if they do end up going with Rome Odunze or somebody else.
And if they do, go get you some Kirk Cousins by then. That's what you
do. Yes. That's what I always say in these scenarios. Like, yeah, it sucks if you have a player like that and you have another player that's being drafted with a lot of draft capital. And what do you do? Well, you can't really react from the skill position player standpoint, but what you can do is react from the quarterback standpoint. You don't know who the targets are going to with Pitts or with Odunze or with London or whoever, Bijan Robinson. Get the quarterback because he's going to be responsible for all of them. So that makes a lot of sense here. I do have my emails back up right now, and we'll go right away for you tonight. Well, we heard it through the grapevine in Grapevine, Texas. Eddie wants to know, Ryan, what do you make of the Pittsburgh backfield this season? I brought this up on the High Stakes Fantasy Football show last night with legendary upside Stephanie Miller, and I said, you know, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, typically Harris was always going significantly higher than Jaylen Warren. If you look at the FFPC Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament, which actually closed out, and we'll get the actual best ball tournament ADP coming up in the next few days. But if you look at it, these guys were going like super late, the end of the seventh and the mid-eighth. Like Najee Harris was like running back 27. Jaylen Warren was like running back 30 or running back 29, something like that. Where do you stand on the Pittsburgh backfield this season? To me, it seems like this is a perfect time to buy a Najee Harris because his value has never been lower. Or do you see it differently, Ryan?
No, I agree. And, you know, I think obviously Najee's had his injury problems. He actually came on pretty strong towards the end of the year last year. I think he was top 15, top 12 back last year towards the end of the year. So he finished strong last year. I think he's a buy. I'm not totally sold on Warren. You know, when you're looking at draft capital for startups right now, they're pretty close. I think you're looking back in, you know, in the 11 to 13 round. So they're a good value, both of them. I'm buying Najee if he's there.
The other question that we have here before we let you go on this evening, and thank you so much for hanging out a little bit extra tonight. Jerry in Putnam, Oklahoma, says, are you willing to pay the going price on Jahmyr Gibbs this year? Thank you so much. That is Jerry in Putnam. Excuse me. Is it Putnam? It's Putnam.
It's Putnam.
Sorry. Putnam, Oklahoma. Farrell, you're familiar with Putnam, Oklahoma? I didn't know that.
Yeah, buddy. I know all the stops in Oklahoma.
Who is the guy? Who did the song, I've Been Everywhere? Is that Johnny Cash?
That's Johnny Cash.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, Farrell Elliott, the new man in black as he's wearing it tonight. You know it. So you have Jahmyr Gibbs right now in the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament. Jahmyr Gibbs has an ADP of, and why don't I see it here? I should see this, and I don't. We're running back. High, holy cow. That's why I didn't see it. I didn't think he was this high, but he is. Running back 4, mother of God, saints be praised. Jahmyr Gibbs running back 4 at the 111. I don't even want to load up what he's going in Dynasty, but I'm going to do it. Jahmyr Gibbs, running back 3 ahead of Christian St. Jesus McCaffrey at running back 4. Jahmyr Gibbs going at running back 3 at the 108. Holy cow, Ryan. And forgive me if I'm poisoning your mind on how to answer this question. I am not willing to pay that price on Jahmyr Gibbs. Are you willing to pay that price either in best ball or in dynasty right now?
No, and I love Jahmyr Gibbs. I've got shares of Gibbs on some of my stronger teams. And he's a best ball guy. You know, he's an explosive player. That's the kind of format you want to have Gibbs in. But I'm not taking him before CMC. There's no way. I'm not making that move, no.
If you've got him.
So at that price, absolutely not.
If you've got him, are you willing to trade him for that draft?
Ooh.
Trade him for what, Farrell? Sorry?
That draft spot. What, at 1-8, 1-9 ball?
So in Dynasty, he's going as the 108 in startup drafts with the FFPC. In best ball, I mean, and obviously there's no trading in best ball, but he's going at the 111, so a little bit lower. So, but you can acquire him in Dynasty. Again, his ADP is the 108 in Dynasty startup drafts.
If someone offered you the 108 in your Dynasty leagues, would you move in for that?
So it's tough for me because I'm solely doing super flex at this point in time. So I'm always considering the quarterbacks into the equation as well. Mm-hmm. So if we're putting in Jahmyr Gibbs at the 108, absolutely. I'm buying there for Dynasty leagues. But again, my focus usually is on super flex. So I would need to kind of see how that played out.
You're one of those head exploding guys from
here. Yeah.
Now listen, Ryan, this is the beauty of the show. I can go to fantasymojo.com at fantasymojo on the X. Darren Armani, the godfather of the FFPC Pros versus Joe's competition. If you saw him on Twitter, he's already released many of the pros that are going to be competing this year in the Pros versus Joe's tournament. I just went on to see his Dynasty Superflex startup ADP in the FFPC. Right. Jahmyr Gibbs, again, Dynasty startup Superflex is going as running back 3 still, but in that format, he is going as the 210 behind players like Trevor Lawrence, Kyler Murray, Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert, Anthony Richardson, and then, of course, the big six, Allen, Mahomes, Hurts, Stroud, Jackson, Burrow. What about in a Superflex Dynasty startup, Jahmyr Gibbs? Would you give up the 210 to acquire him in a startup?
I wouldn't, because starting with running backs is not my style. I'm a first year punt productive struggle kind of owner. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much punt running backs from year one and focus later on. And I kind of pound wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks. So me personally, no. But that's the value that I've seen. I mean, I've seen him go as high as mid second in startups in the tri-flex leagues. So that's the value that if you want Jahmyr Gibbs, that's what you're going to pay. It's not my cup of tea personally, because that's how I build my rosters. But if you want Gibbs, then you got to pay up, unfortunately.
Go find this year's Jahmyr Gibbs and get your bargain.
There you go.
Just real quick, and I know we're up against it, and I apologize for everybody who's hanging out in overtime. Ryan, is there a this year Jahmyr Gibbs? Is there a this year Puka Nacua in the draft?
That's always a question, right?
Right.
Hard to say. Not that I have. You know,
listen, I'm going to be honest with you. No, no is an accept. Farrell will disagree with this. No is an acceptable answer. Say, Balky, there's no way there's a Gibbs. There's no way there's a Nacua in this year's draft. That's
fine. I mean, if you're asking me if there's going to be a rookie receiver who breaks the rookie receiving record again this year, my answer is going to be no. So yeah. that's the easy answer is no. I don't have a name to throw out, but
that is. There was an old general manager, Balky and Ryan, that whenever I had a player of questionable skill set that I would inquire about, especially if he was a client, that was the answer he would give me. Hard to say.
Let me put you on the spot one more time tonight.
Sure.
So there's obviously no Nacua. We all agree there's no Nacua in this year's class. But if I were to ask you the closest guy to Puka Nacua this year.
Maybe, Nacua.
Hold on. Maybe Nacua light. But if I was to ask you who is the closest guy to Nacua, maybe he's only 50% Nacua. Maybe he's only 40% Nacua. I don't know how you view this wide receiver class, although I do know it's deep. Is there a player like Farrell, who have we talked about? We've talked about Javon Baker, right? We've talked about Malachi Corley is another guy too.
Malachi Corley should just not going to outdo all these guys.
Who's the guy out of Louisville that you always talk about?
Jamari Thresh.
Jamari Thresh is another guy.
He looks like in the sixth round, and he'll be a superstar. And the closest guy to Nacua is Skoranek. Lines up right next to him, Balky.
Skoranek in LA. So, you know, I think, Balky, my two, I like Ladd McConkey a lot. I like Ricky Pearsall as well. I like Ladd. I think Ladd would probably be the closest comparison to Puka. And he's faster, too. I think he can be even used more on the outside than Puka is. I like Thresh. I like the guys you named. I like Baker out of UCF. So it's a deep class. But, yeah, Ladd McConkey, I think, would be the closest. And I like Pearsall out of Florida, too.
Yeah, Pearsall, he's a little bit older. Oh, my God, guys. I was on my Northeast Wisconsin terrestrial radio show earlier today, and I was talking with a Green Bay Packers draft expert, and obviously I root for the Packers being in Northeast Wisconsin, and we were talking about potential shocks that the Packers could do in the draft, and obviously you don't think about Green Bay being connected to receiver. And he brought up, like, well, look at Xavier Leggett, a player that the Packers have had in for a top 30 visit. And I'm like, mother of God, this guy played college for 5 years or 6 years or 17 years, whatever it was. And he did nothing in his college career. And then once he turned, 30 or whatever, and he was going up against 17-year-old players, he put up this massive year. I'm like, the last thing I want to see is Xavier Leggett on the Packers. I say that he'll probably turn out to be a fantastic player. You never know. What I do know is we did have one fantastic player on this show tonight. At least he is Ryan Colson, the pride of Buffalo, New York, a guy who has won 5 FFPC Dynasty Leagues, including other FFPC non-Dynasty Leagues as well. Ryan, this was our NFL Draft Preview episode. It is our Season 12 finale of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. So good to have you on. I love picking your brain. I love to hear what you had to say. Very entertaining. Very informative. I wish you nothing but the best going forward in all your FFPC leagues. And, of course, enjoy the draft this weekend, my friend.
Same to you. Thank you both again. It was an honor, and I appreciate your time.
You got it. That is Ryan Colson, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's return Ryan to those Super Bowl parties of his youth and root for the Bills this year.
What was funny growing up for me as a Packers fan, I shouldn't share this, but I'll do the Cliff's Notes story on this. When I was growing up as a kid in the 80s, Farrell, in Northeast Wisconsin, the Packers were an absolute joke. My father treated them as a joke. We couldn't wait till Sunday rolls around to make fun of how bad the Packers are going to lose. And then Lindy Infante took over, and they got a quarterback named Don Majkowski. And then Don Majkowski got hurt, and a guy named Brett Favre took over, and we've never looked back. Favre, Rodgers, and now Jordan Love, who looks like the real deal or whatever. But I remember the first time I watched a Super Bowl with the Packers in it in 1996, and it was surreal. It was very similar to seeing my Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals 3 years ago. It was surreal. It never seemed like this is actually happening. So for me to grow up like Ryan did as, hey, the Bills are in the Super Bowl, this is just normal, blows my mind. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Well, they didn't. They never had a happy ending. But, what a wonderful run they had. What a great team and a great coach and a great owner. That was a really good group. And, they deserved a victory somewhere along the way. They just didn't get it.
The one email I do want to get to, because the rest of these we can wait on because they're good redraft questions. But I do want to get to Chuck in Southfield, Michigan's question, Farrell, and we'll end the show like this tonight. Hey, fellas, who do you have in the Dynasty Fantasy Faceoff between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers? Thanks so much. That is Chuck in Southfield, Michigan. Farrell, we've asked so many guests about this, and I feel like as we've gotten deeper and deeper in the draft season, there's more and more people that are saying Nabers should be the pick over Marvin Harrison Jr. strictly from a talent standpoint, not necessarily from a landing spot standpoint. You've looked at these players. Who do you like better as far as their games go, Harrison or Nabers?
Nabers has a little more versatility, I think. You could use him just like they did in college, both at the X and in the slot. He changes direction. He has my beloved trait of all great wide receivers, movement skills. In Harrison, you have football IQ, you have speed, you have strength. You have him doing it, having success on the highest level of college football, generational talent. And you've got one thing that I love in players like Harrison, is why I'm such a big believer in Pittman, is he has size. And so there's differentiations in their talents, but at the end of the day, they're two of the best receivers we've seen come into league in a long, long time. And so one's going where and one's going the other, and who gets the better quarterback and who plays in the better weather and who's – you know, there's just so much. But as far as the skill set, you can't separate them. If I tell you Harrison tonight, in the morning I'll tell you neighbors. And that's the problem of being an NFL general manager. These decisions these decisions are so difficult. That's why in the movie, which was very accurate, The Draft Day.
Yeah, it's very accurate.
No, the movie was very accurate, especially when they called the young general manager at Jacksonville, who didn't seem to know what was up. And not picking on Jacksonville, but that's what happens. But there was elements of that, and that's why the general manager puts a little piece of note in his pocket. He says, "Vontae Mack, no matter what, I made up my mind. I'm going in, no matter what, because at some point you got to quit evaluating these guys." And that's what's happened earlier this week. You know, they asked Ryan Poles this week, and he runs a good press conference, runs a good ship. I like the people in the front office that he's put around him. And someone asked him, you know, to tip his hat. And he looked at him and said, "That's why you got to show up Thursday night."
Yeah, that's right.
You can look back on it and say, yeah, well, I said that one guy was better than he was. Permar just said, Permar's on a roll. He's getting some things right tonight. And he's talking about neighbor's ceiling being higher at certain things.
Yeah.
It may be so, but only because neighbors might not be asked to do the same kind of things that Harrison will be. But it's fascinating to watch.
What about Farrell? I'll leave you with this. Okay, Friday morning, the NFL first round will be over of the draft. What is the one thing we're going to be buzzing about? Is it going to be where the quarterbacks went? Is it going to be how many skill positions went in the first round? What's the one thing that we're going to be talking about that may or – I don't want to say the biggest surprise, but the one thing that you think that we're going to be talking about after the draft is over, 12 hours later, when we wake up and say, wow, I can't believe that went down?
The team that needed obvious offensive help made a long-term investment in a non-skill position player, either defensive line, offensive line. That type of draft pick will send the fantasy world askew because they'll say, look who was on the board, and they took this player.
Right.
That's what will sometimes drive us as fantasy players crazy.
Yeah, and we've seen it. We've seen it happen over the years. We're like, oh my goodness, this perimeter player that's going to be a future 100 catch, 1,200 yard, 10 touchdown guy, and they went with an offensive lineman, or this running back, not necessarily running back in the first round, but a guy maybe in the second round that has a multiple future 1,000 yard seasons, 1,000 yard seasons in front of him. With multiple double-digit touchdown seasons in front of them, and they went with an inside linebacker or something like that. I think you're right. Like, when the table is set, I'll borrow a line from Rounders here. You got the Luger, you got the plate, you got the napkin, you got everything in front of you, the scotch, whatever, the sides. You just need that steak in front of you. And sometimes, for whatever reason, the NFL team will decide to go with the loaded mashed potatoes or the cream, right? That's what happens. Like, and we just got to live with it as fantasy players, and it could happen again tomorrow. I'm looking for the big ribeye. I'm looking for that massive tomahawk steak for plenty of players tomorrow in getting not only the talent matched up with the right spot in the draft, but with the right team in the draft that's going to equal big-time fantasy production. So with that, we will close out this extended season 12 finale of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Farrell, the next time we go live will be not this Friday, but next Friday when we cover the Genesis and Revelations draft, and we will be at episode 1 of season 13. They said it couldn't be done. You and I pulled it off. Congratulations to you, my friend. Thank you so much for hopping aboard with me tonight and hosting, and good luck with everything going forward, and enjoy the draft this weekend, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it too, as well as all our guys that came in the chat room for Wednesday night. We had a great group, Dom and Rubio, yeah, and all the guys.
Hermar, Bill Hollywood, everybody.
Billy Hollywood, yeah, came in, and appreciate that always. So, you know, thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Farrell. We'll talk with you again real soon, man. That is Farrell Elliott, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. Check out his website, kffsc.com. Join in the main event. Join in any of the dynasty leagues they have going on there. Compete with me and plenty of the other guests we've had on the show going forward. That's kffsc.com. Thanks to Ryan Coulson, Farrell Elliott, the FFPC, Rob Bryce, and, of course, each and every one of you who are watching this live, streaming it later, downloading it, listening to it later. We appreciate however you're consuming this show. You are the backbone of this program. The HSFF Hour, as I said, returns not this Friday because we're going to give you the night off and watch rounds 2 and 3, which is always good for fantasy purposes on Friday night for the NFL draft. We will return a week from this coming Friday, which will be, it's going to be in May. I'm going to look up the exact date right now because I don't want to give false information, or at least that false information on the show. May 3rd, we will be covering the 2024 FFPC Genesis and Revelations live drafts starting at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We'll cover Revelations for the first hour, Genesis for the second hour. If you want to get your team covered and maybe perhaps do a little spot, interview spot on the show, you definitely can do that. Two spots left in the Genesis draft, $150 entry. Make sure you're signing up for that at myffpc.com. In case you missed last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football show on the Better Sports Network or on the FFPC socials, we had legendary upsides and ship chasings Stephanie Miller, who joined us for a special NFL draft preview episode. She was awesome, gave us a lot of great content, a lot of stuff that we should bear in mind when we were watching and consuming the draft, not only on Thursday, but Friday and Saturday as well. We will go live next Thursday, the fallout from the 2024 NFL draft, with two special co-hosts. For the first hour at 7 p.m. on Thursday, Thor Nystrom from Fantasy Pros is going to join me, talk all about the rookie landing spots and what they mean for fantasy. And then in the second hour from 8 to 9 Eastern time, RotoWire's Alan Sislowski, you know him from Player Profiler and all the podcasts they're doing over there. He's going to talk about the rookie drafts, where these guys should be going, where should be targeting them, and maybe a few sleepers in the rookie draft, depending upon landing spot as well. Empire Leagues have arrived at the FFPC. Check it out at myffpc.com, along with our standard Dynasty Leagues there as well. You also have the Fantasy Pros Championship. I believe we still have, and I'm going to look it up right now just to verify. Maybe I won't look it up right now because my computer's been acting up, but I do know we have a Fantasy Pros Championship live draft going on right now. Go to myffpc.com. I think we do have a midnight draft that is taking signups right now. So if you want to get in one last Fantasy Pros draft, we are trying to win $1 million prior to the start of the NFL draft. Make sure you're taking advantage at myffpc.com. You can win $1 million in April. You never know how these things shape out. Myffpc.com is where to go for that. $1 million grand prize, $6 million prize pool at myffpc.com. And by the way, the FFPC main event also available. You can pick up a $1 million grand prize if you win this year's contest over at myffpc.com. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on this very video, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live right here again. YouTube.com/FFPC Fantasy. I want to wish you good luck in all your rookie drafts going forward. We'll talk with you again a week from this coming Friday. Enjoy the NFL draft, everyone. You deserve it. Thank you so much for watching. We'll talk with you again real soon.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Can't believe I almost forgot. Mother of God. I know it's Wednesday, so I'm not thinking weekend, But enjoy the NFL draft the next 3 days. So I will leave you with this. Your weekend officially starts now.